Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Hey, don't forget, we have a webinar that comes this next week, next Sunday morning, right after the show from 8 to 9. Sign up today at ericstewartgroup.com. We'll send you a couple of reminders through the week to remind you that the webinar is on Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning. We also have one this coming Thursday at 11:30, if you like a midday, and Sundays aren't good for you, from 11:30 to 12:30. This is on how to sell your house for top dollar. I will take you through what I talk about on the show. I'll take you through that in a visual form, and you'll be able to ask questions along the way. A lot of fun. I have a great time telling the stories. And some of the stories I have from this business are just darn funny. Just a lot. And crazy, too. I mean, just unbelievable great stories. But we want to help you sell your house for top dollar, whether that's now, later this year, or even next year. So join us. Go to ericstewartgroup.com. And just underneath the initial video at the top, you'll see register for the webinar. Link there. Register today. All right. Hey, when do you believe a real estate agent who tells you that you're having a, you know, you're getting a great deal? We're known as a body for employing euphemisms to make an outdated house seem charming or a cramped apartment to feel cozy, right? Hey, here are some other buzzwords like bargain, undervalued, and deal. And in nearly half of the largest 100 U.S. metros, these phrases probably mean absolutely nothing. Okay, now that's fresh research from our friends over at Trulia, which compares the listing prices for homes marketed as good deals to the prices of homes of similar size, age, and location. So, like in San Francisco, Atlanta, and 43 other metropolitan areas, homes listed as good values weren't any cheaper on average than similar homes whose listings didn't promise a deal. In some cities, you may have more luck taking bargain shilling brokers at their word. So, like, for instance, homes advertised as bargains in Dayton, Ohio, were on average 20% cheaper than other homes. So you have to know where you are and whether things really are. You just have to compare, right? Do a little bit of background research on whether you're getting good value. There's some limits on what Trulia can tell us. So the research describes the average discount across metropolitan areas, and it doesn't really gauge such factors as the quality of amenities or location within a zip code. So a bargain at some level is in the eye of the beholder. Still, it's not entirely shocking to learn, hey, you can't believe everything you read in a for sale listing. Sometimes I read words, in fact, I was out previewing some homes in Bethesda, Maryland about a week and a half ago, and I was reading the description of this house based on what the realtor had written on their brochure that they had on the kitchen counter. It was a vacant house, and they were describing this unparalleled construction, and I walked through, and it was not unparalleled. It was maybe unparalleled in lousiness, but it wasn't in its exemplariness. So people really do try to lavish words and adjectives and phrases to try to add a perception of value where there isn't. Now, I'm not talking about bad salesmanship, that we shouldn't be selling people on the value. As Buffett said, and I often quote, price is what you pay for something, but the value is what you get. But if you are telling people what they can obviously see is not correct, they're not going to believe you, and they're going to distrust the marketing of the house overall. So you need to be careful as a real estate agent that you're telling the truth. You can give better description. You can find better adjectives that are true to the actual value of what you're offering, and that's what you need. So just because sellers aren't offering discounts doesn't mean they're not advertising them, all right? That's the thing, too. If you're not saying, like, I hate if I put a house up for sale and we reduce the price, which sometimes happens. We have to make a price adjustment because the market's not where we had hoped it would be. That's okay, but don't advertise you just reduced it. Don't put up on the sign just reduced. You're like putting a white flag up. I failed. We couldn't get it done before. We're now ready. And it's also assuming that the people in the neighborhood are going to somehow drive more interest, or that the buyer is going to come back and drive by the sign and find out that information by driving by the sign. That's very antiquated. Do not put something on the sign that says just reduced. It's foolish. In my opinion, you don't want to put anything in about having reduced the price. You're now selling at this new price, and everybody knows that, all right? Across the largest U.S. metros, 1% of listings advertised as a bargain in 2015, which was down from 1.5% in 2011. So remember, 2011 prices were much lower than they are now. So only 1% are across all boards are advertised as a bargain. Be careful. make sure you hire a good realtor who will help you on the buy side and on the sell side. On the buy, to make sure that they're helping you understand the real value and whether you are getting a bargain, and to negotiate, because frankly, you can find houses that are not listed at a bargain price, but if an agent's worth their weight, they're going to figure out whether there's a motivation there, whether there's a value to be gotten there, and they'll negotiate the best price for you on the purchase side. And on the sell side, you want somebody, like I talked to you earlier last week, about protecting the interest of the client, the fiduciary nature of a relationship. You want to protect that. And part of protecting that is to be honest. Honesty is very important. So you got to make sure that you don't oversell what is obviously not there in a property, because buyers can see it. They know better. So good writing is an art. You know, when I read well-written articles, I look forward to reading all the way through the whole article. Badly written articles are just blah, blah. And so as a real estate agent, we wear many different hats. And when I started in the business, I pretty much wore every one of them, from being the writer of the information about the property and describing the quality of the home and what were the amenities, the improvements that have been made to the property. And so finding good adjectives that would embellish, not exaggerate, but embellish the perception of the value by pointing out the things that the house already has. You know, the tongue and groove oak hardwood floors versus just saying hardwood floors. Tongue and groove, well, most hardwood floors are tongue and groove, but not all are, right? Or describing the granite countertops. Well, it's uba tuba, right? Or it's verde butterfly. Coming up, find the obvious descriptive words so that people have a sense of what, you know, I mean, you go to a restaurant and they have applewood smoked bacon. Well, I've been to restaurants that have, quote, applewood smoked bacon. And, you know, I know that wasn't applewood smoked because it tastes like the frying pan, you know. So when you're selling real estate, you want to tell people what it is you're offering in such a way that causes them to see the value. And it's in the words you pick. Yes, the photos, as the old saying at my broker, Charlie Llewellyn, used to say, a picture is worth $1,000. A good picture can convey value to a degree, but then you want the descriptive text to marry that and be able to paint that portrait. One of the reasons why we've moved to building out a floor plan of every single listing that we have is so that a buyer can find their way through a property intuitively. It's one thing to say, this room is large, which is, by the way, blah, because large means anything. It's another thing to actually show them the dimensions of a room. So for them, for themselves, as a buyer, they can decide, oh, that room is large. Let them discover the largeness of it and the size of it, even before they walk through the door. Why would you, as a seller, want to have to get your house ready, vacuum it, clean it, get it all ready to show, when the buyer is going to walk through the door and say, oh, this kitchen isn't large enough? Now, you know, everybody's time has been wasted up front, because you could have, as an agent, provided the information up front to prospective purchasers to save your client time and save them energy and save yourself time for them setting up appointments. Because the better we tell, the better we sell. If we do a better job of telling people what the real opportunity is in this property, they're going to already come to terms with it before they walk through the door. If they need a specific size of dining room because of the size of their family room, and you've got a dining room that can only seat 6, maybe 8 people, this is probably not the house for them if it's that important they have a large dining room, right? So words, descriptive words, a good floor plan, good photos, all of this is imperative to convey the property value effectively and win buyers and help them understand what it is you're selling. So they're not disbelieving you, they're believing you, and they're coming and they're buying your house. Well, I'm running out of time already. I'm going to take another break. I'll come back with more, so don't go away.